And that was his uncle. And his uncle had a plan which Jacob never knew. Here was Jacob working for 7 years thinking he's going to get this pretty girl to be his wife. And he's encountering an uncle who is smarter than him. And the uncle says, okay, well, tonight is the wedding and I'll give my daughter to you. He makes sure the wedding is at night because then you can't see who the bride is. You see, it's cleverness all the way through. And those days, these brides used to come with a veil. And I think Laban made sure the veil was thick so that you wouldn't see who's underneath it. But just to be doubly sure, he said, let's have the wedding feast before the wedding. And it says in Genesis 29 that they had a great feast, verse 22. And Jacob was thoroughly drunk. That made absolutely sure that he will not know whom he is marrying. It was dark, the girl was wearing a thick veil, and Jacob was half drunk, didn't know what was happening. They made him hold his hand and say, okay, you're married to her, go. And after he gets out of his drunken stupor in the morning, he looks and says, hey, who are you? That's when he realizes his father-in-law was smarter than him. And my brothers and sisters, I have seen through the years how God uses fathers-in-law to break people, mothers-in-law to break people, many in-laws, many other things. The whole purpose of God is to break this strong, stubborn man who thinks he can do everything, who thinks he can handle everything, because God's got a purpose for him. If God doesn't deal with you like that, it's because He's put you on the shelf. That would be tragic. Thank God if He deals with you and brings you into circumstances where you are broken, where you encounter people who cheat you, and all the smartness and cleverness that you think you have, that confidence in it is gone. And then when Jacob discovers that he's married the wrong girl, he goes to his father-in-law and he says, well, we don't normally give the younger daughter before the elder daughter. So if you want the younger one as well, you've got to work another 7 years. See, he was smart. He was going to get at least 14 years of work from Jacob for free. And then he gets the other daughter. And then one day he decides to run away. He spent 20 years still the same unbroken smart man. He got cheated once or twice by his father-in-law, but he got his own back, and now he's become a wealthy man and he's going away after 20 years and God decides to break him finally. And that's the second time he meets with God. It's 20 years after his first encounter. See, I see in the life of a Christian, God takes us through many, many circumstances to try and break us, to humble us, to crush us. Because He wants to make us Israels. He wants to make us princes. He wants to make us people who have power. But we resist it. We resist it. And if God loves you, and He sees that you're sincere, one day He will break you once for all, and then you'll be a different person. That takes time, but when that happens, you'll never be the same again. And that's what happened to Jacob after 20 years. We read in Genesis chapter 32, he's still the shrewd person. He hears that Esau is coming against him, and he divides them people into teams, and he keeps himself at the back. He says, even if the others are killed, I will escape. And that's how he lives, the shrewd, calculating man. And in that situation, it says he was left alone. Genesis 32 and verse 24. And you're a blessed man and a blessed woman if that time comes in your life when you're left alone. and there is fear, what will Esau do to you? And that's the time God wants to meet with you. You've done so many wrong things in your life. You called yourself a Christian, maybe a Christian worker, but there's been shrewdness. There's been manipulation of people. You've been exalting yourself. You've used people to promote yourself. The world is full of Christian workers who use other people to promote their own name, themselves, make themselves big, and never mind these other people, let them be unknown so long as I'm big. Everywhere in Christendom you'll see it. Jacobs, who are manipulating people, get the best of the flock, the best of the lambs, build the best houses for myself with the Lord's money, and say, I'm serving the Lord, so God has blessed me. And all this type of stuff is going on everywhere. And I feel a lot of these people God has placed on the shelf because they never seem to get light on what it means to be really broken, to become a real Israel. They are happy with their activities. They are happy with their statistics. They are happy with the amount of money they get in the Lord's work, but never come through to that life where they have power with God and power with men. And that's because they never get alone with God. They're always with people. It says here Jacob was left alone. One of the things you need to learn is to be alone with God. Many people always like to be with other believers. That's good. Fellowship is good. But we need times when we are alone with God, when God can speak to us and show us, tell us what exactly He thinks of our life. And it says here, there was a man who wrestled with Jacob until daybreak. That was God, maybe in the form of a man, trying to show Jacob, do you know that all these 20 years you've been struggling with me? I've been trying to break you, but you're too strong. And that's the message that God has to speak to many of us. I'm trying to break you, my son, my daughter, but you're too strong. Of course, God can crush us. It's not difficult. But the brokenness He wants will not come that way. He wants you to respond. Then only the brokenness will come which He desires. And so he struggles. It says the whole night he was struggling with Jacob, trying to teach him, I've been trying to break you for so long. And then at the end of that whole day, whole night rather, it says God saw that he did not prevail. He could not succeed in breaking this man. All the circumstances that God had arranged for him still did not break him. Then finally, he dislocates Jacob's thigh so that he cannot walk properly anymore. This proud, self-sufficient, strong man is finally given one final blow and broken. And that's what I said earlier. You're really a blessed man. You're a precious person if God prevails with you to that point where one day He gives you one final blow. These little things that went on for 20 years did not succeed. Finally, with one blow, He has broken you and you'll never be the same for the rest of your life. He was broken. He couldn't walk anymore. From that day, maybe he was only 40 years old, but from that day he needed a stick. You know, it's pretty humiliating for a 40-year-old man to walk with a cane. But Jacob couldn't walk without this staff because he had been broken. And I love that passage in Hebrews in chapter 11 where it says, by faith Moses split the Red Sea, and by faith Joshua pulled down the walls of Jericho. By faith Daniel shut the mouths of lions. And in the midst of all these fantastic things, it is written, by faith Jacob, verse 21, leaned on his staff. That looks like what a stupid thing to say in the midst of a chapter where people did such fantastic miracles. But Jacob leaned upon his staff. But you know, that mentioned there in verse 21 of Hebrews 11 is a far greater miracle than the splitting of the Red Sea, than the pulling down of the walls of Jericho. When one human being is broken to the point where he now leans only upon God, Jacob leaning upon his staff, it says he leaned upon his staff and he worshipped God. That was symbolic of a life that would never again stand on its own feet. But like he leaned upon his staff, he was saying, I now lean upon God for everything. And when God can bring you to that place, where you are so broken, where you cannot be the great, strong, upright, mighty man you have been all these years, and you have to lean, you're dependent, you're helpless, that's where God has begun to do a work in you. And we read in Genesis 32 that he tells Jacob in verse 26, let me go, because the dawn is breaking. And Jacob says these wonderful words in verse 26 of Genesis 32, I will not let you go except you bless me. What a change has come in this man. This man whose name was Grabber, who came out grabbing his brother's leg, grabbed his brother's birthright, grabbed two daughters of his uncle's, grabbed his uncle's property, grab, property, women, birthright, everything. Now, who is he grabbing? God. Wonderful. His hands are empty of lambs and sheep and property and Leah and Rachel, and it's all gone. He says, Lord, I'm grabbing you. I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's what happens to a broken man. A broken man, his hands are, he's not strong now. In his earlier days, he was strong to grab property for himself, to get people subject to him, to manipulate people, to do so many things. But now his hands are empty. He's weak. He cannot grab. Now he grabs hold of God. And he says, oh God, I want only you. I want you. I don't want these other things I spent 20 years looking out for. I want you. Have you come to that place? Or are you still grabbing for... I see the number of people in the world who are grabbing for position in Christian work and advancement and honor and all types of things. They're not broken yet. A broken man, his hands are empty. He's not strong to go and fight for eldership and leadership and directorship and position and honor. He's weak, he's broken. He clings to God. He leans upon God like Jacob leaned upon his staff and says, Lord, I cannot live without you. When you come to that place, you're broken. When you're satisfied with other things, when you're satisfied with a ministry, you're not broken yet. A broken man is never satisfied with ministry or people or anything. He's only satisfied with God. He's not grabbing anything. If his brother does not share his property with him, he says, take it, I don't want it. And if somebody else pushes him down and takes some ministry, he says, please take it, I don't want it. I want God, and nobody can take him away from me. That is the mark of a broken man. And then the Lord asks him in verse 27 of Genesis 32, what is your name? Many years earlier, his father Isaac asked him when he came with the animal skins and pretended to be Esau. He said, son, what is your name? And he tried to speak with a gruff voice and said, I am Esau. He was a deceiver. Deceiver, grabber, cheater. God picks up such people. Thank God. Otherwise there'd be no hope for you and me. Don't you think we are like that? Don't you think all of us are people who are always seeking our own, trying to push other people down? Don't think you are so holy. We're not. We're always seeking our own gain. We're always seeking to grab something for ourselves. Even those who look very holy and pious, they are all seeking their own in some way. And when God asks him for his name, he doesn't say, "I'm Esau." All the pretense has gone. He says, "Lord, I'm a deceiver. My name is deceiver, grabber, cheater." And the Lord says to him, "From today, that will not be your name anymore." What blessed words. When you're honest with God and say, "Lord, I look like a sadhu. I look so simple, but in my heart I'm crooked. I'm lustful. My name is lustfulness. My name is pride. My name is arrogance. My name is seeking my own. My name is grabber. My name is deceiver. My name is cheater." When you come in honesty to God like that, when he asks you, "What is your name?" That is the day he will say to you, "You will not be like that anymore." God's ways are not our ways. For 20 years we pretend, "I'm a holy man. I'm a man of God." And God leaves us alone. Till the day comes when you're broken and you say, "Lord, this is the truth. I'm a crook. Right to the core of my being, with all this religious whitewash, I'm a crook. I'm a deceiver." That's the day the Lord will tell you. Your name will no longer be deceiver. Your name will no longer be cheat, crook, grabber. From today your name will be Israel, a prince of God, because you have grabbed hold of God now and you have power with God and power with men this day. It is through brokenness that we get power, not through smartness and cleverness. God can use smart people and clever people if they are broken. If they are not broken, he just sets them aside. Has God been working with you, trying to break you through little things? It's not succeeded. Is it a picture of you, the man struggling with Jacob and not prevailing, not bringing you to the place where you're honest, not bringing you to the place where you say, "Lord, I'll never grab anything else in the world. I only want you. I grab you." And then we read Jacob's, and it says here, God blessed him there. This was the second blessing. The first one he got 20 years earlier. Here was another encounter with God, verse 29, at Peniel. And he said, "I have seen God face to face." The broken man sees God face to face and he's amazed that he's still living. And see these words, verse 31. The sun rose. At last, the night was over. The sun rose. The sun that had set in Genesis 28. In Jacob's life, after 20 years, the sun rose in his life and he was limping. And ever after, he walked with his stick, leaning upon God. He got discernment. He came to know God in a way even his father Isaac did not know. See, Isaac never went through all those difficult times that Jacob went through. Jacob went through difficulties. I told you that people like David and Joseph, who came to the throne through difficulties, had a better reign than those who came to the throne easily, like King Saul and King Solomon. It's true in Christian work too. Those who've gone through the grind, been ground by God in the mill, and powdered and crushed, they are the ones to whom God gives a ministry that becomes a blessing to people. But those who have resisted that grinding, those who want to quickly come out into a ministry when they are young, I believe God wants to give you a ministry when you are young, but only if you are broken. If you are not broken, you will be a hindrance in God's work, however gifted you may be. It's not gift, primarily. I believe in gifts, but a gifted man who is not broken is a danger in God's work. It is better if he is not gifted. At least he will not create confusion. But gifted and unbroken, and there are multitudes like that in Christendom today. Gifted, but not broken. God wants to break you. Because when you are broken, you have discernment. God gives you supernatural discernment about people. You know, one of the great tragedies I have seen in Christian work through the years in this land is godly, sacrificial missionaries have come to this country at tremendous sacrifice. Godly people. And they start a work and they appoint over that work Indian people who are self-seeking, seeking money, and their whole work is destroyed. How is it these godly people could not discern? What type of people are you putting into your work? I don't want to judge them. But there certainly was a lack of discernment. You go to all the mission stations in this country, and I've traveled throughout the length and breadth of this country, seen many, many mission stations. And I know many of them were started by godly people. But see what happened after they left. The type of people who are running those places today, all seeking their own. The second level of leadership does not have 1% of the vision of the man who came and started the work. A lack of discernment, or perhaps an eagerness to build something quickly that will impress people, never mind the quality of the leadership. It's a tragedy. In the long run, it dishonors God's name. It's better to do a small work that is pure, where the leadership is godly. Jesus spent his time producing 11 people like himself. It was not very impressive, but those 11 people turned the world upside down. And you see, Jacob, he got discernment. Isaac, when he was old, he couldn't see properly, and he was so blind spiritually that he thought that God had chosen Esau, even though at the birth God had said the elder will serve the younger. The younger is going to be blessed. But even though he heard it, years later, he still wants to bless Esau because he likes the curry which Esau cooks. Can you imagine a man of God who's impressed by good food, that he'll give you the anointing and the blessing because the other fellow cannot cook as well as you? That is Isaac, because he had an easy way through life. He could not discern who has God chosen, Esau or Jacob, even though God had told him. But you see, Jacob, when he's an old man, he also can't see. And he's sitting in Egypt, blind man. And Joseph brings his two sons. You read that toward the end of Genesis. Ephraim and Manasseh. And Manasseh is the older one. So the older one must get Jacob's right hand, and the younger one must get Jacob's left hand. So Joseph brings Manasseh this side and Ephraim this side, and this blind Jacob crosses his hands. And Joseph pulls his hand and says, no, father, it's not like this, Manasseh is here. And he says those words, I know, my son, I know. And he crosses his hands. That's discernment. Because God had planned to bless Ephraim more than Manasseh. That was a result of being broken. He came to know God. You don't get fooled. Even if a man like Joseph, godly man, comes and says, please put your hand on him. If you have discernment, you'll say, Joseph, I know you're a godly man, but I'm sorry, I can't accept your opinion. Think of that. Think what discernment he had. Physically blind, But spiritually he could see clearly into the future. And he prophesies about his children. Exactly like it was. See, that is what God wants to make you. A prophet. One who can see things that other people cannot see. The Old Testament prophets were called seers. S-E-E-R-S. People who could see things which other people couldn't see. God wants to give you discernment, vision about spiritual things, the true condition of your co-workers, of the people you work with. You'll never have it till you're broken. If you're an unbroken person like Isaac, you can be 100 years old and you won't have discernment. But if you're a broken man, God will give you discernment and you will say like Jacob, I know. God has shown me. You don't have to tell me. I know. Do you want to be a man like that? But you know the price. You'll be broken. You'll be humiliated. You'll be crushed. People will misunderstand you. God may use various means to crush you. You may not get what you want, but you'll be satisfied with God Himself. But you will be an Israel. You will be a prince in the land. You will be a man who can accomplish God's purposes wherever you go. You will be a prophetic voice speaking for God wherever you go. So what's my advice to you? Let God break you. Humble yourself under His mighty hand. Let's pray. There may be areas in your life that God is speaking to you about. Where He's seeking to break you, respond to Him. Say, Lord, I want to submit to You. I want to surrender to this breaking process. It's different ways in which God deals with each of us. It may not be with fathers-in-law and mothers-in-law. It may be through other circumstances He brings into your life. But if He loves you, He'll break you. It pleased the Lord to crush Jesus. That is the way He wants to lead us all, because He wants us to be princes and princesses of God in your generation. Determine with all your heart that you will work along with God and you will never resist Him or fight Him. And say, Lord, I want to be a broken man. I want to cling to You and empty my hand of everything else that I've clung to all these years. I want You. Not even my ministry. I want You. And when you have Him, you will have a far greater ministry than you can ever have otherwise. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom in these days that we will recognize the situations and circumstances You arrange for us for our good, that You might deal that final blow upon our life, whereby we can never stand straight again, but always lean upon You till the end of our life, and be Israel's princes who have power with God and power with men. Help us, Lord, all these young people here, what tremendous potential there is to shake this country for God and many other countries around us. Help them to understand the value of brokenness, we humbly pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Okay, well, there you have it. That's a very good word. I won't add to it too much except to say, you know, it's very important that we experience that kind of brokenness. So I encourage everybody that hears this to meditate on it. Don't just listen to it and say, oh yeah, I'm good, I got that, I'm broken. Seek the Lord and say, Lord, am I really broken? Am I a broken vessel? If you want to know the truth, God will show you the truth, and the truth will set you free. I guess that's it. We'll see you next week, God willing, and the river don't rise.